So we're continuing our message series entitled Toxic. We want to seek after the Lord and allow Him to reveal some of these toxic things in our lives. We remember by definition, if something is toxic, it is capable of causing serious debilitation or even death. We know spiritually speaking, that's called what? Sin. Either doing things you're not supposed to do or not doing things you are supposed to do, right? It causes debilitation and death. If I don't brush my teeth, what's going to happen? They're going to decay, they're going to die. Okay, and I'll be able to take my teeth out and freak out my kids, right? So different are spiritual lives. If you just let yourself go spiritually, if you don't maintain your spiritual life and health, I'm sorry, it's just a reality. You're either growing or dying. There is no stagnant faith. There is no stagnant spirituality. But there is a reality here that all of us, because we're all still in this flesh, because we all still live in this world, we all are exposed to toxic things. And those toxic things, for all of us, have seeped down into our lives and have, gained a root into our lives, all of us. So we want to be able to recognize those things, and we want to be able to take them to Jesus so that He can deal with those things. That's the heart of why we're doing this. Because if we don't appropriately deal with them, before it's too late, we find ourselves weak, ineffective, and just spiritually dying. Last week we learned about toxic thoughts, right? How they can seep in and set the course of our lives unknowingly. Just a simple thought can unknowingly set the course of our lives. Not only did we learn how to recognize those thoughts, but also, if you remember the cop chasing down the guy, we need to take those thoughts captive and replace them, right? Because you can't just not think about something. We talked about that. Have you ever tried to not think about something? It's like impossible. Then it just consumes your thoughts, So we need to replace those thoughts. And of course, we do that according to the Word of God. Whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, Philippians 4, those are the things we want to replace those thoughts with. This week we're talking about toxic influences, which I already pulled that up apparently. Most of us are aware of the need to guard the gates of our hearts and minds. If you've been in the church for any duration of time, you've been taught that, be careful little ears what you hear, be careful little eyes what you see, right? These things are teeny tiny parts of our body, but boy, do they control our lives. Exposing us to good and bad things. We know that we need to be cautious of the media that we consume, right? And it used to be these things, radio, newspaper, magazines, TV, things that we need to be cautious of. Those are things that we, that can be toxic influences in our lives. Now we have these influences, social media. You've got Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, Snapchat, and it goes on and on and on. There's always new things out there. Now in our world, information in media is immeasurably accessible. I mean, because of the internet, if you want to know something about anything, it's out there in an instant. On this little computer, I can pull up just about anything about anything. I am not a mechanic by any means, but if I want to figure out how to take this rotor off because I can't figure it out for the life of me, I YouTube it and it's there. The guy shows me step by step, how to do it. It's great. There's a lot of good things. But of course, we know how our enemy operates, right? Where there is access to good things, what's going to be right there along with it? Access to bad stuff, right? That may not necessarily look bad, but bad stuff. Countless hours are spent consuming media from outlets such as YouTube, right? And I guess I shouldn't really say countless, actually. Some statistics on YouTube's. Billions of dollars are actually made every year by doing nothing really more than counting YouTube videos, what you guys are watching, how you're watching it, where you're watching it, what your interests are, and then analyzing all that video consumption to use for advertising. Billions of dollars. It's amazing. Here's some statistics. Over 400 hours of video are uploaded every minute on YouTube. Every minute, 400 hours of video. Over 1 billion hours of video are watched every single day. Every day, a billion hours are spent on YouTube by the world. The average mobile device viewing session is over 40 minutes. That's me out and about sitting in a waiting room or driving in my car or something, over 40 minutes long on a mobile device. That kind of blew me away. YouTube is the world's second largest search engine. Of course, we know the first, right? And guess who owns YouTube? Exactly, Google. They know more about you than you know about you. I can guarantee it. I can absolutely guarantee it. I've seen some of it. It's amazing. I have access to SDKs because I'm a software developer. It's scary stuff. Whether an inspiring teaching video game playthrough, a product review, a music video, a how-to video. I mean, anymore, YouTube is where people go to learn this stuff and to figure out this stuff. Our lives are being shaped and molded right by complete strangers. You know, I know my kids, they know these YouTubers, you know. Did you know New Mind had a king? You have to check it out, Liam the King. He's a teen YouTuber here in New Mind. There's a whole culture, a whole world going on, you know, on the on YouTube itself. And that's just one social media outlet. But we do this. We welcome people, complete strangers, into our home. We trust what they say, right? I mean, for example, one time just for fun, I checked to see how many emails I got from you all of, hey, you need to check out this video, you know, because they're usually like 45 to hour-long teachings or prophetic words or something, you know. If I were to actually watch everything you sent me, literally for 3 weeks straight, I recorded this, and it would have been between 40 and 50 hours. In a week, I would do nothing but watch these videos that y'all send. So I love you, and I'm sure that there's a lot of good stuff. I watch a lot of it myself, you know, but I'm sure you guys want me, you don't want to pay me just to sit and watch YouTube all day, right? I don't think that's what you guys are paying me for here at the church. So, okay. It's amazing, though. It's amazing. It's amazing. Because a lot of these people, they are just Joe Schmoes off the street with a cell phone. And man, we gobble up what they have to say. We just eat it. I mean, it's just, man, you got to check this person out and what they're saying, you know. Complete strangers. You have no idea what their lives are like. But we follow them. We follow them. We sit at their feet. We learn from them. It's kind of scary to think about, right? The reality is, Paul and Timothy warned us that this day would come long before they ever knew about any of this stuff, right? He said, for a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Now, I'm sure that when Paul wrote that to Timothy, I mean, in their culture, they would literally go sit at the physical feet of teachers and learn from them. You know, similar to what we do in the church when people preach. You know, you come and you sit at the feet, which, anyways, I don't necessarily agree with all of this flow of the service, but I roll with it because it's cultural. But they didn't realize, like, look at that now. They gather around them a great number of teachers that say what their itching ears want to hear. I mean, that when I read that, I just instantly thought of YouTube and what gets sent to me constantly. Because I'm like, well, of course they send me this because that's exactly what they would say. It's completely what, like, these teachers are saying what they would say and what they would want to hear, you know, itching ears, you know, just like a dog, you know. Just, man, you eat it up because it's stuff you agree with. It's not stuff that really challenges you. It's not stuff that exposes, you know, some issues in your life you have to deal with. No one wants to watch that stuff. Are you kidding me? I don't want to watch that stuff, you know, but I do because I know it's good for me. I know it's healthy, right? But we do this. We now have the ability to gather around us a great number of teachers. And it's a good thing because I love sources like the Bevere's, John and Lisa, you know, a lot of stuff that comes out of Bethel and whatnot. There's just like an amazing amount of teachers, you know, that we can sit at their feet that you never could have otherwise. We're so connected, and it is such a good thing. But it can be a bad thing. We have to be cautious with the influences and the toxicity that can come in through that. In the world in which we currently live, we can literally do that. Sit at the feet of 100 teachers anytime we desire, anytime we want at all. You know, while you're sitting here listening to my message, you can be reading someone else's, you know, or you can be watching the live stream of some other church, you know, down the street. You can be doing those things. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a good thing, but we got to guard and watch our lives closely. Because I spoke to many parents, right, whose children were exposed to things that when I was growing up, and I just turned 35. When I was growing up, I never, ever, ever had access to see some of the stuff that our kids are, you know. I just sat down to lunch with a parent the other day, and, you know, their little four-year-old is like, Daddy, is he hurting her? It was a super innocent YouTube search. And stumbled into stuff. And that affects, you know, their life from here till forever. We gotta be careful, right? Because kids are just exposed to things. And it's not just kids, it's us as well, you know? Because as with any good thing, evil is right there to corrupt it and to toxically infect it as well. You know, isn't that what toxins do? They attach themselves to good, living, whole things, and they corrupt it. And that's what we have to watch ourselves with. It's kind of humorous to consider this, you know. I know I grew up this way. One of my uncles was this way, a conspiracy theorist to the nth degree. That red light on your TV, that's a camera. The government's watching you. I won't have one of those in my house, you know. You know, we're scared to death that the government was wiretapping our landlines, right? Or you know, whatever. Scared to death that was happening. Now what do? We connect our entire household together, and then we connect it to the internet for the entire world. And we know, through the RSA, we know that we're being spied on and watched and everything. And what do? We connect our, now you can have a refrigerator. Just saw a commercial the other day. Hey, I got any eggs? Yes, you have 3 out of 4 dozen, and they are set to expire in 6 days. Literally, you can go buy that fridge right now. A microwave, you know? You see a person flying on the plane. Oh, did I forget to turn off the coffee pot? You pull up your cell phone. Oh, I did. Bloop, you know, and it turns it off. Connected to the internet for the entire world to have complete control of your house. And now we welcome this, you know. Now these are the most popular things to buy. They sit there and listen to your every word. And you can say, hey, Google. I'm sorry. Mine listen to me. You guys don't. Why do your phones not listen to me? Or hey, Alexa, right? You can say that. And if it knows that I said that, you know what that means, right? It's listening to every word I ever say. And it's sending it out to the internet for translation. Everything you say is out there. It's insane. And why do we welcome it? Because it's convenient. It's very convenient, right? Now we welcome that. So we've got these listening devices sitting, waiting. It's insane. So anyways, the influences in our lives, think about that. They are numerous. Numerous. And I'm just talking about the tip of the iceberg here with social media. The influences are immeasurable because advertising is no longer a banner out on the street or an ad in the newspaper. That's no longer advertising by any means. Advertising companies, they now have our lives profiled to such an incredible degree that I believe they do literally know us better than they know ourselves. You know, I can show you if you want sometime, I can show you your Facebook profile of what it thinks you like and don't like. It gathers that behind the scenes and you now have access to it. Right? It's kind of scary. They know you. They've profiled you to a T. And that's why, you know, you're sitting there at the dinner table, and I'm talking about something I never, ever, ever talk about. I'm talking about like a green-spotted leprechaun unicorn. I'm like, wow, wouldn't that just be freaky? And then I go on Facebook, and there's an ad for a green-spotted leprechaun unicorn, you know? I mean, what more do we need to realize that they got our lives down? Anyways, it's just the way of our culture. But advertising companies, they're now not about selling products, but selling ideas. Advertising companies care more about influencing you than they do about selling you something. Because if they can influence you, selling's the easy part. A product's the easy part. Right? I mean, take a look at some of the commercials that are out there now that you watch, especially during the Super Bowl or whatever. A company pays millions of dollars to put that commercial on the air, and they never even mention their products. But they sell an idea. They sell they rise you up for a movement or a cause, right? You know, in just a few seconds, they're designed to emotionally grip the heart and radically change the mind. You know, I mean, and they're so good at it. So, so good at it. You know, I recall watching The Hunger Games for the first time, and I didn't realize how old this movie truly is, but I remember watching this and thinking, are you serious? Like they're all about grabbing this media for this campaign. And you know, all these different, what do they call them? You guys, you've watched it before, right? Yeah, someone said it. Anyways, yeah, you know, we'll rise up in rebellion against the corrupt, evil government. You know, and I'm thinking, a commercial's going to do that? And then you look at, like, the recent elections, and it's like, wow, we've become what that movie was portraying that I thought was ridiculous, right? Right? It's unbelievable. Our opinions are so easily swayed by simple media propaganda, a simple media promotion, and our opinions are just swayed like that. It's unbelievable. We don't think for ourselves anymore. We let other people think for us, right? That's dangerous. God gave you a brain for a reason. It's not a lack of faith to use it. It's not a lack of faith to use it. But so often we don't realize the influencers in our lives because God created us to be so intimately interconnected with each other and the world around us. He literally created us so that just about everything influences us. And we influence the things around us. It's the design of God, but it is leveraged by our enemy and misused by the world around us. And often it's misused by us. Us as Christians who are called to humbly serve one another, so often we use our influence and we use the relationships that we have to get our own way. Manipulation, witchcraft, it's nasty. You know, so often we do that. But everything has influence over us. When I walk in the door and I see my little doggies jumping on me, wagging their tails, man, it just sets my mood, you know. Influence. I love my dogs, you know. The cat, she comes in, you know, she kind of whines around your feet when she needs something, right? Other than that, you know, she's on her own. Anyways, whether it's, you know, while we're pumping gas and that song comes on, I'll get back in the car, we're driving down the road, and I'm singing this song. Becky's like, where'd you hear that? And apparently it was either in the store or pumping. You know what I mean? You guys have been there before, right? You didn't even know that song is on, but you're humming it, going down the road. Influences. We don't know it. A quick text message, you know, or getting that letter in the mail. We're so influenced. We're like emotional roller coasters, right? James kind of described that, you know, being tossed to and fro with all these teachings and influences. And that's, although that's going to happen to a degree, we need to be cautious with the influence of whether we're influencing or being influenced, and whether it's good or bad, whether it's toxic or healthy. Because Jesus taught us to be anchored, right? To be anchored, to have our hope anchored to Him, so that He is our number one primary influencer. He is Lord of our lives, literally. He's to be the number one influencer. And from there, you know, the influence, it goes all over the place. But we can choose to stand firm on His truth, being led by His Holy Spirit within, and gaining self-control over all these attempted influences. When something's attempting to influence you, you can stop it. You don't need to be influenced by that thing. And vice versa, I can choose how to use my influence in other people's lives. I can choose. I have self-control given by the Holy Spirit of how to control these gates of influence in our lives. Because we can shut those gates of toxic influences in our lives and throw open the gates of positive influences. We have control over those things. And those influences, again, they're countless. I focus on media because it's the easy one to look at. We're influenced by so many things. Standing up here, I'm being influenced by the way you're looking at me, or not looking at me, or whatever, you know. Influence. We influence each other, right? And I pray that I'm a positive influence. I hope that's why y'all show up week after week, you know. But influence. We can be influencers, freely sharing the hope that we found in Christ in every situation. We can be that influence. We can be salt and light. We can be influencers into a dark and hopeless place. We can bring the hope of Jesus into it. Psalm 1, this is one of the first scriptures I had to memorize. It says this, that blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that the sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. We all want that second part, right? I want everything to prosper that I set my hand to. And I'm telling you, man, words of affirmation is one of my love languages. I feel like abysmal failure when that's not the case, right? We all want that. We want to prosper. And there's a key to prospering, and it's what? Influence. Be careful in the way that you are influenced by the wicked or sinners or mockers, but rather to be influenced by people whose delights in the law of the Lord. And remember, the Lord brought us back during prayer time about the law of love. The law of love, it fills every other law. Of course, this is Old Testament, you know, he's writing about the actual physical law given to Moses. But of course, we know that we can fulfill that entire law by loving Him with our everything, Jesus, and loving others as we love ourselves. So if we want to live prosperous lives, we'll avoid toxic influences. And this is the essence of not walking in step with wicked, standing in the way of sinners, or sitting in the company of mockers. It's avoiding toxic influences in our lives and avoiding following them instead of following Jesus. Now, and I love that these words are used. Spiritually speaking, are we supposed to be walking, standing, or sitting? Okay, whenever you drive past Lane Construction and you see Jason stand there on a shovel with four other guys, you know, while the operator's the only one working, how do you feel about that, right? They all ought to be working, right? Get your butt in gear, get moving. I love this. We are spiritually speaking, we're never told to walk, to stand, to sit. What are we called to do? Run. Run the race of perseverance. Run. So I can even take it to a step further. It's not all about wicked or sinners or mockers. It's more about you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And you're slacking off. You're slacking off in your spiritual life. And what did I say earlier about tooth decay? If you slack off spiritually, it leads to death. It just does. All right. So this, of course, doesn't mean that we live in a bubble. We don't have to look like that guy. Believe it or not, that's the point of this message is. You're not supposed to be that guy, right? You're not supposed to be like that. That's what, when we read this scripture, we get this idea of worldly holiness, of religiousness, and we're going to talk about that at the very end, and we think that that's what the scripture says. Don't hang out with these people. Don't keep in step with the wicked or sit with sinners or whatever. We're not supposed to do those things. But obviously we know that Jesus fulfilled the law. He lived it perfectly. He never sinned in his life at all. So he is our example we always look to. Jesus lived that out perfectly, yet he lived his life intentionally connected with the wicked, with sinners, and with mockers. I mean, he literally did. He reached out to them. He lived his life with them. So the key in all of this is influence. The key in all of this is influence. Which way is the influence happening? Because Jesus didn't spend his time during his little 3.5-year ministry with any one group of people. Just being an influence over them or just being influenced by them. He lived his life connected with all kinds of people, including that list that we're told to not sit, stand, or walk with. The key is influencing. Are we influencing them or are they influencing us? Because we also found that Jesus had to what? He had to get away from all the influences of the world and he had to spend time alone with his Heavenly Father. He needed to be influenced by his Heavenly Father. Okay, what are you calling me to do today? What do you want me to do? Jesus was successful and prosperous in life because what did he say? He saw only what he saw the Father doing. Number one influencer right there, right? Put him first, put his kingdom first, everything else falls into place. Top number one influencer in life. Yet he still spent time in synagogues, hanging out with the church folk, right? Sitting at the feet of teachers, listening to the Word of God. He spent time doing that. He also spent time teaching in there. He spent time with the 12 disciples. He spent more time with just his three closest friends. He hung out with the crowds. He partied in the house of tax collectors. He dined with the Pharisees. He had a balance of influence in his life. A balance of influence. And so the key to success in a prosperous life is the balance of influence, right? This balance, I think I have it. Well, we'll get there. We're called to be a people who influence the world with the kingdom of heaven, but to not allow ourselves to be influenced by the world. And there's a fine balance there. And that balance changes constantly. Constantly. Constantly in a balance. We influence toxic atmospheres with the healing antidote from God's presence, but we step out of those toxic atmospheres once the influence reverts and we become contaminated, right? Anybody who's ever done any like stripping and staining of furniture or stuff, you know the balance. You know when I got to step out of this garage and get some fresh air here, you know, because I'm starting to feel a little loopy. Influence. There's a toxic culture out there, but there's also a kingdom culture within us. And the key, I think that's a reason that God placed the Holy Spirit within us, but we're still wrapped in flesh. Because this flesh is like that border between the toxic world and heaven within, and which way the influence is happening. And boy, is it difficult to keep that balance. I'm going to give us some tips here in a little bit. Okay, I'm gonna move along here. So Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And of course, do you see these key words here? You should go out with a sandwich board, with a megaphone, and call them out, right? Talk to my brother-in-law. He goes to a lot of like these. I mean, he's not a Christian by any means, you know. But he goes to all these big rock shows and everything, you know. And he lives that life, so he's all pierced up and tattooed and everything. And I'll tell you what: when he met me, it threw him for a loop because I'm not like the Christians that he knew from all those places. You go to those concerts; he takes videos of them and shows me. He'll go up and talk to them and show me the way they treat him, the way they look at him, the way. And every time I'm like, Jesus, please forgive your church. Please forgive your body. What happened to restoring and doing it gently? I don't disagree with you about that person's lifestyle. I don't agree with it at all. But we're supposed to restore that person, and we're supposed to do it gently. They're a child of God that Jesus, well, they're not a child of God yet, but they're one that Jesus Christ gave his life for so they could become a child of God. And we treat them that way. They're created in his own image, and we treat them that way. Jesus said, if you can't treat someone in the world with love, how in the world can you say that you love me? If you can't love someone you can see, how can you say you love me when you can't see me? You know what he called that person? God called you that? A liar. Said the truth is not in you. That's harsh. But it's the words of Jesus. Don't throw daggers at me. Okay, but he said this also. Yes, we who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but we have to watch ourselves, or we may be tempted. We're told to carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Isn't that loving? Helping carry each other's burdens, right? You fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something, when they are not, they deceive themselves. And all of us gotta watch ourselves with that deceit, thinking we're something we're not. In verse 4, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to anyone else. For each one should carry their own load. And so we have this balance. Gently restoring people who are caught in sin, but making sure I don't get tempted myself. I'm wrapped in the same flesh they're wrapped in. I am tempted in the same way. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. Sorry, so quiet. Yeah, sinless life. Yeah, he was tempted. Just the way that we are. Tempted, okay? Tempted. We can be tempted. We got to be careful with that balance. Because what good is it if I am on a mission to set people free, but I become bound in what I'm trying to set them free from? Not going to be very effective, are you, right? You know? We got to watch ourselves so we don't get tempted. And balance is the key in this. And I wanted to give you like 3 tips on how to know which way the influence is going, but God wouldn't give that to me. Instead, he told me what the solution truly is. It's very simple, but it's very complicated. I love it, but sometimes I get so frustrated with it. Sometimes I have an easier time pastoring the people out at the softball field who don't know Jesus because they're actually hungry and asking questions and wanting prayer for things than I do with the church. I get more frustrated with the church than I do with the world. I'm just going to freely, openly confess this, but that's the solution, the church. The church is the way we keep that healthy balance. That's what Jesus gave us. He didn't give us 3 cute tips of you do this, that, and that, and you're going to keep a healthy balance with this issue of influence, whether you're being toxically influenced or whether you are influencing healing out to toxicity. Jesus gave us the church to keep ourselves in check. He gave us the church to do that. The way that he planned for that is right here sitting all around us. We need each other and there's no shortcut. I can't remember the guy's teaching. I think it was when we went out to Harrisburg, you know. There's this truth taught that you can't know yourself by yourself. That's how Galatians happens. You think you're something you're not. I can only know myself through relationship with other people. I think I'm a very patient person, then God gave me children. Right? You can't know yourself by yourself. It's only through relationship. Oh, man, you know, you think you got rid of things in your heart, and then he gives you that coworker, you know, and it just starts grinding on you, and you're like, okay, I didn't know that was in there, but it just came out my mouth, so it's there, right? We need each other. We need to commit to gather together on a regular basis to seek after God. That's what we do at church. We need to seek after God to be cleansed and to be filled up with the Holy Spirit together. Then we go out together in the world with the hope and light of Jesus. We need the church. I need, and you need, a brother or sister in Christ who knows us well enough and loves us strongly enough to confront us when this influence shift takes place. Someone who can recognize when we're no longer restoring a person caught in sin, but we're getting to be tempted in the same sin, right? Someone who can notice the slight changes in our mood, in our attitude, in our behavior, in our speech, indicating, hold on, there's a toxic influence in your life right now. Okay? You know, someone who knows us well enough. That's why the very same context of Galatians 6, we are reminded of this balance is fulfilling the entire law of Christ by what? By carrying one another's burdens. It's that same context. The way that I keep that balance of influence is through the church, through my brothers and sisters, right? We need each other. We're reminded how easily we can toxically deceive ourselves thinking we're something we're not. A test has to take place, and that test can only take place outside of ourselves. It's a reality. It's a reality that a deceived person does not know they are deceived. If they knew that, they're not deceived, right? Is that just the reality? A deceived person doesn't know they are deceived. They think they're something they're not. Back to that scripture in Galatians. We need each other to test us and to bring those things out. It's important that we have people who can speak into our lives and caution us when they begin to notice these toxic influences. They can warn us when they notice a change in the negative way that, you know, a change in the negative way. Whenever we begin to maybe listen to certain music, or whenever we hang out around a certain person, or whenever we watch a certain TV show, whenever we read a certain book, you know, they're closely connected enough that they can help us identify those toxic influences in our lives and then walk with us through the process of freeing us from that toxicity and keeping us free from it, bringing healing into our lives. That's what it means to carry each other's burdens. And that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. By doing that, we need each other. Because we change constantly. That same person that was a positive influence on me this morning, this afternoon may be a negative influence on me. I change constantly. We all do. Like I said, a dog's wagging tail, boom, changes, influences you. A butterfly that you hit with your car. Sorry, first you're probably thinking, butterfly, you know. Yeah, splat. It has an influence in your life, right? We need each other. Okay. I wasn't sure whether to go into this or not. Should I go into this? I've got 15 minutes left here. Okay, here's the thing. I always struggled with this, so I'm going to clarify it for everybody. Because I'm sure I'm not the only one that struggled with this when we read this scripture. Carrying each other's burdens, that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. That, black and white, understandable. The Greek word translated into burden here is the word baros. That word carries the idea of something pressingly heavy on us. Literally, it means making a high demand on our resources, either physically or spiritually. Burden, that means it's pressing heavily on us, either physically or spiritually. It's a high demand. There are relationships, there are people, there are circumstances, there's a lot of things that can be a burden in life. Lots of things can be burdens. It's physically or spiritually demanding, a high demand on our resources. It's like a boulder that's simply too heavy for any of us to carry alone. It's like our house catching fire, destroying everything we have, and forgetting that you forgot to pay the insurance bill. It lapsed. Now you have no insurance to even pay for it. Too much for any person or family to carry. Way too much. That's what toxic influences are. They cause serious debilitation, even death in our lives if we try to manage them on our own is the key. Okay, that's a burden. That's a burden. That's what it means. Now, Paul, he said these two things. I got to go back to it because this is what always confused me. He said, to carry each other's burdens, in this way you fulfill the law. Then he said, each one should carry their own load. And I'm always like, I do this with Paul often. I'm like, okay, buddy, which is it? Am I supposed to carry my own load? Or am I supposed to help other people carry theirs? Or are other people supposed to carry mine? You know, which is it? Am I supposed to carry other people's burdens, or am I supposed to carry my own? And the answer, of course, is yes. So we know that word for burden. The Greek word translated into load at the bottom part is the word portion, which we get our word portion from. This word carries the idea, it literally means something carried. It's like those cute knapsacks, you know, that we had in the 80s, you know, whatever I forget what the English people call them, butt bags, actually, yeah. I'm like, what? What did that person just say? And then it's a fanny pack, you know? Yeah, that's the word, fanny pack. It's that idea. It's my wallet. It's something I can easily carry myself, you know? I don't walk around like, oh, this thing's so heavy. I need your help, right? No, I can carry this myself. I'm supposed to carry it myself. It's my burden to bear, right? Or it's my load to bear, not my burden. Burdens are too much. Burdens means we need other people. Toxic influences. I see this toxic influence more than any other influence when it comes to relationships. Not knowing the difference. And the church is so guilty of this. And I'm a soft-hearted guy, so I can be guilty of it as well, you know. You try to carry other people's loads and not their burdens. You don't... this is a whole other message series, I'm sure, but boundaries in life... What's yours and what's theirs? If I keep watering their grass and mine never gets, you know, watered, neglected, theirs is going to be prospering at my expense. They have water. They have a hose. They can do it themselves. If we carry other people's loads, we're going to wear ourselves thin because we are working in our own strength. God gives us the strength to fulfill His law, to carry burdens for people. God's not going to give you the strength to carry someone else's load. They're supposed to carry that. You can teach them to carry that. You can use His word to teach them to carry that, but you shouldn't be carrying that yourself. You're going to do it in your own strength and you're going to wear yourself out. Be very cautious when it comes to influencers in your life as to of what you're doing. Are you helping or are you enabling? Are you helping carry their burden because it is too much for them and they need someone else? Or are you carrying their load that they're supposed to take care of, right? Got to be cautious with that. We have to be careful with that. Toxic influences, okay. And that's probably another sermon for another time. So back to this one. Toxic influences, they reveal themselves eventually, right? We tell by the fruits. Eventually they bear fruit. Does it cause the fruits of the flesh to grow in our lives? Probably toxic influence. Does it cause the fruits of the Spirit to grow in our lives? It's a good, healthy, godly influence, right? And, people who challenge me to be a better person, they usually produce fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5. People who wear on you, they're a toxic influence, they usually bring out the flesh in you, generally speaking. Sometimes God puts them in your life so that you work on that and you grow the fruits of the Spirit, right? Not the flesh. Sometimes it's yourself. But sometimes you have to be careful because of the influences that everything has on us. What are we allowing to speak into our lives? What are we allowing to influence us? And we have to know that balance. Are we being a positive, godly influence in this area? And at what point does that toxic influence stop being healed by my presence and I start becoming infected by that toxic influence and corrupted myself? We have to walk in a balance. And we cannot know ourselves by ourselves. We need to have the church, the body of Christ, call us out on those things in a loving, gentle way. We need each other to know us. Now, our spouses usually know us well enough. So-and-so was at work again today, weren't they? Anybody ever had that before? Yeah, how'd you know? Well, that dirty joke you just told, I mean, come on, that's them through and through, you know? They know us well enough. And we ought to be so closely connected as a church family that we can recognize that in each other, you know? That we can call it out and not offend people of, you know, like, hey, you know, I noticed you're hanging out so-and-so again, and, you know, you're this or that. And we can restore that person, restore them back to a good stand in Christ, a firm foundation, a firm stand in Him, in a healthy environment and outside of a toxic environment. So do you understand? You kind of seeing this? Jesus wants you to hang out with sinners. He was called a friend of sinners. He was called a demon. He was called a glutton. Why? Because He hung out with those people. You can't be the salt of the earth if you stay in a salt shaker. Okay? Seriously, what good is it? It's like, I'm sure some of your families probably have this. It's like that fine china that you grew up with, never, ever, ever got used, and then you inherited it, you know? Why do you even have it then? That's a plate, okay? I don't feel like washing one. I just want to grab that one. It's clean. It's sitting there. It's perfect, right? The church can be that way. A museum, a monument. Keep us pure and holy and blemishless, so the world can see how awesome we are. But that's not the body of Christ. That's not the body of Christ. Jesus, He didn't care what people thought of Him. He knew who He was. And He used His influence out there in the world to set the captives free. That's what He was anointed to do, to bring healing, to bring deliverance. And that is what His body is still supposed to be doing today. Jesus said, everything He did, we would be doing, and even greater things. Those who believe in Him. And so we got to watch ourselves in this. The way that you remain holy is by being used of God. Not by looking like something. Not by being a whitewashed tomb. The way you are holy has nothing to do with the outward appearance. It has everything to do with your purpose in life and how you're being used. A spoon was just a spoon until it was brought onto the altar and sprinkled with blood. And because its purpose had changed, it was holy. It was just a common, ordinary spoon, okay? It didn't change its molecular structure. It didn't become golden when it, you know, came. It became holy because it was set apart to be used by God. That's what holiness is. Holiness is just being set apart for His purposes. And I'm sorry, none of this was in the sermon. I'm going 1,000 different rabbit trails. So, back around, influences. Just be on your guard. And get connected with another brother or sister in Christ. Let them speak into your life. Let them get to know you well enough that they can help you keep this balance, this tightrope balance between me being influenced by the world and me influencing the world, because that's what we're called to be. You're called to be earth influencers, world influencers, taking the presence of God out into the world where it's needed most. That's what the New Testament was written about, the church out there being the church. Not what the church did inside its four walls. Very little is written about that. The miracles, the signs, the wonders, they happened out there. So, let's go, Lord, in prayer. So, Jesus, we thank you for loving us enough to never give up on us. We thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit and for being always ready to forgive us and to restore us. And so, Lord, we're asking your help, your guidance on influence. Help us, Jesus, to be the salt of the earth wherever we go, to carry your presence out into a broken world to bring healing to it. But, oh, Jesus, we need you, and we need our brothers and sisters here to help us know once we've crossed that line and we become influenced by the world around us. We want to be healing and not toxic. We want our lives to be full, to overflowing with your Spirit. We don't want it to be contaminated with salt water and fresh water and sewage water. Lord, we want to represent you. So just help us. Guide us, direct us. Bring healing into our lives where we've allowed toxic influences. Bring to mind those areas where we need to stop carrying people's loads and start carrying the people's burdens that we are called to do, because we want to fulfill your law, Jesus. We just thank you for your help in all this, in your name. Amen. Amen. All right, well.